roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goat. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you're listening to another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show. It's the only show that matters, and I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me as always is the devious and dastardly Goes, Ari's co-host. What's up, Goes?
Good morning.
Ready for some fights on Saturday?
Yeah.
Good. We'll talk about Benavidez versus Figueiredo, in which these two contestants, one of them will be crowned the new UFC flyweight champion out in Norfolk, Virginia. I'm really, really excited about it. The division has been saved. The division almost got scrapped a few years ago. But somehow it lasted, and I think they have two quality flyweights, Goes, ready to go. Really, really excited to chat about that. Also on that card, very prominent are some women featherweights, which I don't say this too often because there's not many of them. But guess what? Four of them are going to be throwing down on that fight card. Ion Kutalaba versus Maya Gomed and Goliath. Grant Dawson versus Derek Minner. That completes the fight card, the main card there. Also, Luis Pena, that's Violent Bob Ross. He's on the fight card as well. Marcin Tybura, a few other names. So we'll definitely get into that. You know, I'll bring up the odds and we'll make our predictions for it. Plus, there's been a lot of fight bookings and there's a lot of news out there. So we'll cover all that as well. Buckle up, folks. It's going to be a fun Thursday show, February 27th. And thanks, as always, for your support. Here we go.
In 2008, a former D1 football star pulled off a robbery so daring and so strange that it went viral worldwide. It was a perfect crime story. There was just one problem. It wasn't the real story of what happened. The Sneak is a new, serialized true crime podcast from For the Win and USA Today Sports. You can subscribe now on Apple Podcasts or get it anywhere you get podcasts on Tuesday, January 14th.
All right, Goes. So, Benavidez versus Figueiredo. How do you look at this fight and what are you expecting on Saturday? And remember, let's say one of them wins 10-9 two times, and then the other guy comes back with a 10-8, and it's a draw. They're going to have to fight a fourth round.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wait.
I mean, sorry.
No.
Sorry, I meant to say, you know, after five rounds,
mm-hmm.
My question is, will they fight the sixth round? That's what my question is.
I think legally they can't, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, because I think that's the limit is 25 minutes.
I wonder if they can get an exception.
So I don't think they can.
What if the sixth round was 10-10?
I know, right? It's going to be a good fight. It's really, really like, I still haven't figured out exactly who I'm going with. I think Joby won. Kenobi overall is probably the best fighter. Figueiredo is just super, super tough. And I think we still don't even know exactly what his potential is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's still getting better.
It's like a mini Aldo.
A little bit. And so from fight to fight, he's been showing so much improvement that who knows what this next jump is going to be here. So it's really, really tough. But I think at the end of the day, I go with Joseph Benavidez just because, I mean, he had the little hiccup with Pettis. But aside from that, for years.
That was the first fight off that knee injury, too.
Yeah, for years, he had just been handling everybody except for the very, very top guys. And these are guys that were beating everyone. So I don't know. This whole card, it almost has like that the other guys feel, right? It's the 125 weight class that the UFC just doesn't seem to really dig too much. And then you got the featherweight weight class that they started. But then when things didn't go their way, it's like, well, what do we do with it now? So I feel like it's just one of those cards where they go, oh, we got to do something with these divisions. All right, put together this card.
Figueredo can crack for sure. And he's very, very athletic. He's very, very fast. He's one of those fast twitch guys. In fact, the other day I was struggling for that term. I'm going to see if I can remember that. And so he's always in play. But I remember when he fought, I believe it was Alexander Pantoja. As the fight went on, and he did wear on a little bit, and if you got in his face, he did seem to, you know, that energy bar went down. And that's one thing Benavidez can do. Now, Benavidez has been knocked out. Demetrius Johnson caught him, and he actually caught him early in their second fight. So it's not like that combo doesn't work, where Figueiredo can crack Benavidez and Benavidez can, you know, can lose that way. But I'm sure Benavidez has studied this guy pretty well. I'm sure both guys have studied each other very well. But I think Benavidez knows over 25 minutes, he can probably get this fight. Except he's just going to have to make sure he doesn't get caught. I think if he can just take that away from Figueiredo, you ain't going to catch me. Or I'm not going to make it easier for you to crack my jaw or the back of my head or my temple or whatever with these 4-ounce gloves. It's so dangerous. And if you can leg kick me or just outstrike me a little bit every round, that's fine. But as long as I can maybe get a takedown on you, because that's what Benavidez does have to execute on him, he's going to have to blend the mixed martial arts a little bit. But if he can do all that, I think towards the end, Benavidez can win a decision. It's been a while since he's been submitting, guys. But he does have that submission arsenal. Just ask Ryan Seacrest.
How do they do that every single time? They always ask for something like that, and then it always ends up with a guy going whoa, and I don't know.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, Joseph Benavidez and his wife Megan Olivi, the UFC commentator, or I guess she's a host. They were on Kelly and Ryan. Is that what it's called now? It's
not good. I don't know what the official name is.
Kelly and Ryan now, because he used to be with Michael
Strahan,
and even before that, some other clown. I don't know, but it's Ryan Seacrest, and so look, it's definitely good publicity for the UFC. I mean, that's a popular morning show. But yeah, Ryan Seacrest went out there, got choked out by Benavidez. But the whole episode, I watched it. Goes and took about 45 seconds. It seemed like Joseph put up in a guillotine and Megan was supposed to actually do like a little bit of commentary, and then at the end Kelly goes, that wasn't much commentary, and then Megan kind of laughed it off, and then Joseph did do the guillotine, except Ryan Seacrest actually stood head to toe, you know. I don't know what happened there, but I think he tapped him probably because he was his head was he had a head rush full of blood. Then they forgot about the choke. I don't know what happened. But, you know, either way, it was fun segment. And they did a good pop for it. And we'll see what happens. But getting back to this fight, I still think this fight can be won by Benavidez across 25 minutes towards the latter rounds. I just think that's when Figueiredo just slows down and he may be more susceptible for some of Joseph's strengths. Or Joseph maybe can just bank rounds because I think he's the better mix martial artist all around. I don't think Figueiredo can submit Joseph Benavidez or out-scramble him or out-wrestle him or anything like that. And if Benavidez is, if he's done what like Amanda Nunes did, and that's just address late cardio, then whew, imagine having that power through 25 minutes. You know, that's why, folks, I'm telling you, this is going to be a really exciting fight. Vegas has the odds at minus 45 for Joseph Benavidez, plus 125 for Figueiredo. So if you believe in the whole Mini Aldo thing, hey, this might be one of the few times you get Figueiredo as a as an underdog. But Benavidez, like Go says, save for the Pettis fight, which was his first fight after the knee injury. And in that fight, I remember Pettis executed a very structured game plan to beat Benavidez. One that he's able to pull off because he's a pretty well-rounded mixed martial artist. Save for that, Benavidez has only lost to all-time greats, folks. Dominic Cruz twice, Demetrius Johnson twice. So he just doesn't lose very often. This guy is a smaller ranked weight class legend. It all goes down on Saturday. Did you give me a final prediction? I'm going with Benavidez.
I'm going to go with Benavidez, but you used a word that I think is the word that the fight's going to actually come down to, and it's scrambles. I really think both guys can be very aggressive when they want to, and I think these little scrambles are, if you get lazy in this fight, you're going to be put in a position where you're going to start losing rounds. And if there were if there was a finish, I agree with you. I think it'd be late, and I think it'll be Benavidez.
Yeah, Benavidez might want to, you know, you always say, hey, avoid the other guy's pop early on and maybe let the fight play out a little bit. But I really liked what Tyson Fury did the other day. He did that for about 90 seconds, and then he got in Deontay Wilder's face, you know what I mean? And if Benavidez can maybe push the action and maybe tire this guy out a little bit earlier or just have him thinking, you know, you want to execute your game plan, but I'm telling you, what you don't want to do is leave your chin hanging out against a guy like this and then think, oh, boy, what was I thinking? Because that guy's dangerous with the knees. That guy's dangerous with his fists. And
I was wondering something. You brought up Tyson Fury. And, I mean, look, it's still combat sports. But one's boxing, one's MMA. Boxing had an incredible surge with that fight. Lots of people talking about it, lots of people ordering it, kind of old school. You know, let's all go over so-and-so's house and get the big fight. Can't miss it. A lot of celebrities, all that. Do you think the UFC at all feels any type of pressure with their next pay-per-view being in Vegas to kind of match boxing or do even better than boxing? Is that one where Dana White gives a crazy speech, maybe incentives for guys to just come out and put a great performance? Or are they just separate? So you just let it play out.
I think Dana White will tell you our business model is to is 52 weeks a year. Well, 42 or whatever, however many weeks they have. But our business model is we are going to entertain you across all of these shows, the Dana White Contender Series, everything we have throughout the year. So please sign up for our subscription, which is, you know, Fight Pass. Please become an ESPN Plus guy, original programming, things like that. And watch us throughout the year, folks. Now, yes, they are going to have some matchups like that. They just had Connor and Cowboy. He may actually go in the past goes and say, well, yeah, what's coming up is going to be great. Wait till you see Izzy versus Romero. But don't forget, we just had Connor versus Cowboy, which gave them 1 million pay-per-views, apparently. Plus, 500,000 people signed up for ESPN. And remember, ESPN pays these guys a lot of money regardless. So I think they're just really, really in a good spot. Now, that said, if you tell me Fury and Wilder sold way more than a million, which I doubt they did, but let's just say they did, then that would grab the attention of the UFC. Well, not because business isn't good, but you're right. I think ego. But Vegas is supposed to be, you know, their town at this point a little bit. Now that Mayweather's kind of out of the way, now that Pacquiao's slowing down, and this isn't their big event of the year. It's not it doesn't have anything to do with Conor, and it's not International Fight Week. So again, he may cool his heels a little bit, but I know he'll be wanting to match that a little bit. But see, Dana's a boxing fan. Dana's very secure in his business model. It's not like before. I think before you could see the panic in Dana. I could see Dana giving that speech goes, hey, I'll throw out a little bit. You know, now it's just 50 grand across the board. But before, remember, you could talk them into 55 or 60 or 70 or I think 129,000 at UFC 129. I think you could do that when it was more privately business owned, you know, with the Fertittas and him, them calling the shots. Now, man, you know, these guys are a little bit more structured and they got a lot of debt, you know, and slowly I'm sure they're probably getting out of it. Sounds like business is good. Sounds like some celebs that invested started getting dividends, but, you know, either way, it's just a different structure now.
I think it's a big ego thing, especially with Dana White, and I could see maybe not money, but some kind of different speech. I just know that I think he likes being up there. I think he liked that Connor and Cowboy, a lot of celebrities were there.
A lot of them were there, yes. He loved that.
I think he felt like he was on that level playing not just on that level playing field, but maybe superseded it a little bit. And I think he wants to keep that momentum, and especially
with Tyson Fury. Do you know if he was at the boxing match?
You know, I don't know, but I don't see why he wouldn't be, because normally he is at those big ones, right? I think we've seen him at a lot of Triple G, Canelo.
Right.
I think he was. I would imagine he was.
Okay, if he was, See, here's the thing. Not everyone's worthy of a big entrance like that. But I'm wondering if he enjoyed the big entrances and how people gravitated towards the big entrances. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's actually one of the big talking points still after this fight.
And by the way, I think since we did our show on Monday, Wilder's already come out and said that entrance might have affected him, because he wore a costume to celebrate Black History Month. It weighed 40 pounds, and apparently his legs had, I don't know if he said they were shot or, but they definitely impacted him. And between that and him complaining about the ref and then him complaining about the corner shouldn't have tossed in the towel, it just seemed like Deontay was doing a lot of complaining instead of just sticking to, man, Fury. He did say this, folks. He said Fury was the better man and I'll come back. Just say that. Mm-hmm. All that other stuff, especially when you go, I don't want to make excuses, but you've already been pointing at different things. You know what? Do that in the buildup towards the next fight. Before the next fight, say, I don't want Kenny Bayless. I want this fight because I feel X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? But again, man, I know it's a tough loss, and I know there's egos involved, but he's had time to see the fight since he talked to Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports. And if you watch that fight, there's just nothing Deontay had for him, man. Nothing.
You know, it's funny. I saw a headline, and I didn't get a chance to read it. But I guess somebody went back to when Wilder was on Joe Rogan's podcast. And on that podcast, he said, I train with 45-pound weights on my vest all the time or whatever. Boy. So then people were going, oh, now, you know, you're telling people that that's what you do. What's the difference between a costume and a vest? You know, it's same shit. So that's there what happens go. When you start to it say things like that. It all lives on the internet. Yeah, it never goes away. So you're right. At that point, you just got to go, man, dude was the better guy that night. I'll come back.
Speaking of, and I know I'm straying away here from the game plan, Goz and I were actually in the studio when John Morgan interviewed Joshua Fabia and Diego Sanchez. I see the story is already out on MMA Junkie, and so I believe the plan was to just basically release the whole video along with, you know, the story that was created there. By the guys, you know, that was written to accompany it. Folks, let me recommend, do it. You know, I don't know if you're going to sit there and watch it the whole time, but even if you do it as you're prepping your dinner tonight or maybe while you're on the treadmill, just play out the whole 45 minutes. It was up and down in a different type of way, but I think these guys were really trying their best to explain and account for, you know, just how they work as a tandem and Fabia's, you know, his way of coaching and how Diego's taken to it and all that. But in that process, as John would answer the questions, I didn't really get too many of the answers I was looking for because they would stray off. But I got to say, as I was sitting there, I could have left the room at any point. There was Champions League soccer going on, for crying out loud. But I actually was engaged. So give it a run, folks. Check it out and see what you think. But overall, goes. What'd you think? Now that you've gotten to know, I guess, Fabio a little bit.
I think it really came off as a guy that's just not used to being in this world very much. So his opinions, I don't think
he didn't like the criticism at all.
He did not like it, and you know, he laid things out, and you can understand where he's coming from, but that's just not the way the world works, especially on our side.
Well, not only that, but Rogan and Cormier, two guys that he pointed out, and then a lot of the media, everything he had to say, like, for example, I don't think Rogan and Cormier would go, oh, I get it. He wasn't really giving answers towards the criticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, all of his criticisms, he sort of did the same thing for everyone else, you know, which didn't really make too much sense. And so, look, he's got Diego's attention. Diego seems to like him. Diego seems to trust him. So I think you just kind of, you live off of that and you try and build off of that. If Diego keeps winning fights, then guess what? I think people start looking at his opinions as a coach for mixed martial arts and start saying, okay, maybe this dude has something. That's the best way to shut people up. But right now, I think just arguing and trying to get people to listen to you, and it may not be working too well.
Yeah, I hear you. Anyway, folks, give it a shot, really. and listened to it because it kind of reminded me like of a Diaz brother type of interview. You know what I mean? Where you're just gonna you're just in for a ride. Buckle up for that one. All right, let's go through a little bit of Z News. All right. Did you see this thing with Tito Ortiz and Alberto El Potrongo's?
I saw it. I just don't know what it is.
It's nothing at this point. So what it is according to the TDLR, so that would be, I guess, the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, quote, the results of the fight were changed pending further investigation. That's what the TDLR, public information officer, told MMA Junkie when reached for clarification. Because right now, that fight that took place where Tito Ortiz submitted rear naked choke over Alberto El Patron is now a no decision. So they wouldn't say what they're investigating. Of course, we all start to think a piss test. You know, did something not work out or whatever? Or I guess as somebody brought forth some evidence of some cheating, you know, some form of cheating. I don't know, but they didn't clarify, and so definitely don't run with that. You know, I'm just trying to think here what it could be because I have no ideas. And so when we caught up with Combate, they didn't even know. They called up TDLR and they confirmed that as of right now, it's a no decision. So there was really no comment going back and forth. But the only thing I can think of goes is if it's a no decision, Tito's got to give Alberto his belt back.
The WWE belt,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That was the side bet.
I actually think he needs to give it back right now, just right away.
It's a no decision, right? Yeah. But Alberto would say, but then Tito would say, but you got to send it back if they give me the win, you know, because they said it might be changed to win. This may be nothing. As of right now, it's kind of like in a holding pattern. So I think what Tito Ortiz will do is say, I'll send you the belt if it remains a no decision. But at this point in time, you know, I'm holding on to the belt. No one's going to ship that bad boy back and forth.
Yeah, that's
I guess
true.
He gave it to his kids.
Yeah, that's like that. A little, I wonder, I'm just thinking of how I was as a kid. And if I got something as cool as a WWE belt at that age, and then you told me I got to give it back. Oh, man. Think about all the teasing at school or whatever. Like, you know, I got to imagine that belt made its way to school one day, right? Mm-hmm. And then if something does turn out to be bad, especially with Tito, God, I think that kid's going to get it.
Yeah. Sean O'Malley, who's back in action at UFC 248, this guy launched a subscription video series ahead of the UFC 248 return bout. When I read that, I honestly said, are you fucking kidding me? That was my response. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even read the article yet. Now I went ahead and read the article. And I guess he's involved with Taki. All right, Taki's a platform for creators and athletes and celebrities to interact directly with their fans is what it says. And Goz and I actually have something similar on Patreon, Triple G Show. Check it out, folks. But what he was offering was insight on the fight camp, which a lot of them already kind of just do their vlogs, you know what I mean? Plus, the UFC will feature them on countdowns. I don't know if O'Malley will make it on this cut, but you know, a lot of them do their own vlogs or whatever, but he was saying, I'll show you where my weight is at, what I'm eating, what my schedule's at. And he's asking for $5 a month. Okay, I hear you. The only problem is, this is where I thought, you get one new video each week and then some post-fight analysis. Man, nowadays, you got to offer more. And going back to what we're doing goes, man, we're constantly in the Mandalay Bay kind of just trying to create new ideas. We got some new t-shirts that we're going to be sending out, but you know, we film different type of segments. We're definitely putting stuff more stuff up there than once a
For as low as $2 a month
than once a week. Yeah, so that's, yeah, I read that and I was like, man, I don't know if this is going to be well received.
I think it will originally. The first thing that came to my mind was, well, what do you do with your social media then? Because your social media is usually where you do those types of things, right? So is your Instagram going to suffer? Is your Twitter going to suffer? Because now you're doing these things over there. I don't people love their social media, especially fighters, and I don't see them not doing the things they used to do. So he's going to have to do extra stuff to maintain people's attention. And I just don't know that it would be worth it. You know,
like me neither.
It's no disrespect to him, but
yeah, if it works out, but I wasn't sure. I read that and I was like, man, I don't know, brother. That guy's been through a lot. He's been part of that whole, tampered supplements and the pulsing and I mean, get back in there and fight and then we'll talk. But I guess we're always pushing managers and fighters to find new ways, new streams of revenue. And maybe that's what the kid's doing. Who knows, you know? But at this point in time, like, I think you have to come up with a solid game plan before you ask people to, you know, to give something a little bit towards their entertainment. And again, thanks to those that support us, that's for sure. But good luck to Sean O'Malley. How about this? Ryan Hall recently was on ESPN. And he was talking about all the fighters, goes, that have turned down fights with him. This time he put them all on blast. You want to hear the names?
Sure.
Shane Burgos, Jose Aldo, Josh Emmett, Jeremy Stevens, Renato Moicano, Frankie Edgar, Calvin Kattar. He says pretty much everyone down to the Korean Zombie or Yair Rodriguez. He says, I was directly turned down by Josh Emmett. I was directly turned down by Renato Moicano. Aldo and Edgar are, to be fair, moving on to bantamweight. He says he can't get a fight.
I mean, I don't know that he can complain very much. His fights don't really have that type of pop. The style that he fights in just doesn't jive very much with very many people. Yeah. So
he just goes for them legs.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where he's coming from. But at the same time, I understand where other fighters are coming from. Like, there's a lot of risk and not too much reward either.
Mm. Kind of reminds me of Husamar Pajares a little bit. Except the danger with Husamar Pajares was the fact that he did go after your legs, but you also felt like this guy could hold on to your legs.
Yeah, you which know? He did plenty of times.
Yeah, but guess what? There was a lot of fighters that said, I'll still fight you, you know. I remember Alan Belcher doing a whole structured camp on not only defending the leg locks, but actually going after Paul Harris's as well.
Mm-hmm.
But good luck to Ryan Hall. He did say Ortega would be a fun fight, and Ortega's got a great, great Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu pedigree. Except, remember, he got injured on the way to the Zombie fight. Mm-hmm. It said it didn't require surgery, but he said he would only be out a few months. And then Hall actually says he's been hearing Ortega versus Zabit, which is something we talked about, because Zabit said, I will be fighting at UFC 249 in April under the Khabib-Tony banner, and I'll be fighting a top five guy. Well, the only one that's not booked
nothing
is Brian
else
Ortega.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and that would be beautiful. That'd be a great fight for Brooklyn.
He might as well have just said it, because nothing else, based off of what the information that he gave us, makes sense. And I'm down. That's a great fight.
Mm-hmm. Look how I connect the dots. Speaking of Khabib Nurmagomedov, his manager, Ali Abdelaziz, has shut down Conor McGregor versus Justin Gaethje. He says it's absolutely false. And we have been hearing that, folks, that Conor McGregor and Justin Gaethje may be happening in the summer. But Abdelaziz took to Twitter to shut that down. He says Justin Gaethje is waiting for the winner of Khabib versus Tony, which... Remember, folks, he may be saying that, but boy, Dana White has said it over and over that he really wants to make Khabib versus Conor McGregor. So the only thing I could think of, because Abdelaziz wasn't specific here, but I imagine he thinks Khabib's going to win.
Yeah, he has.
Right? But if Khabib does win, Dana's pretty clear that Conor's next. But let's just say he does win and he gets his way. Now he's putting both of his clients against each other. Now I think he's got so many clients and so many great fighters under his stable that this is going to happen. Gaethje versus Khabib, you know, in Ali's eyes. I think that's happened in the past with Ali. It happened with Cejudo and Garbrandt, you know, and he just says, I just stay home.
Marlon Moraes, too.
I don't even observe the fight. You know, he might be prepared for that. But if Ferguson also beats Gaethje, remember, Abdelaziz is going to be campaigning for a rematch because that's what Khabib's going to want, I think. Unless he gets obliterated, then maybe he won't have a case. So Abdelaziz is going to be in a he's playing some high stakes poker because he's got so many, you know, people there that he works for. But I imagine if Tony beat Khabib, he would campaign for Khabib if Khabib wanted the rematch. But at the same time, what do you do to Justin Gaethje? Who's your other client? You know what I mean?
I think they've all sat down at one point. And said, what are the scenarios that can play out? And this is because if you're Justin Gaethje, you'd be a fool if you did not ask about this, right? Well, what's going to happen if, you know, I imagine at some point they've all had this conversation. They kind of know which direction it's going to go. Here's the kind of crappy part is sometimes things just don't play out that way, right? And that's when people start to get upset. And I really hope they do make sure that they have a good plan and that they can stick with it. Because up until this point, I mean, think about where Justin Gaethje came from and all he's done a lot for that career. And I think he's done a lot to raise the profile of Ali as well. So it would be nice for all those guys to stay together and figure out a way to work it out.
That dominance, what do you call it? That PR day that they had in LA. I couldn't believe how they all get along. They're one big happy family. You know, there doesn't appear to be too much friction. Somehow Ali makes it work and he takes a lot of heat for it, but he makes it work. The UFC on June 13th is targeting Kazakhstan. So if you're listening to this show and you're in Central Asia, in Kazakhstan, guess what? They might be headed your way. All right, I guess. You know, I'm not going to hate on that. But right now, it just seems like anything in the Southeast or directly in China just seems to be hands-off. Hell, Singapore just had a fight card with no fans in the audience. Just the fighters because they're being proactive. Did you hear that Disney has a Disneyland in China and it's completely empty right now?
In China? I didn't know that. I thought they had one in Japan.
They have one there, but they have one in Shanghai as well. And it's been completely empty. I think it's shut down and they've been losing a lot of money. Think about Disneyland here in Anaheim, how much they count on that revenue. And then all of a sudden, if it just shuts down for a month, you know what I mean?
I didn't know that. How long has it been shut down?
A couple weeks, I believe.
Oof.
Yeah. And I guess if it continues, it's going to keep taking a big hit, you know.
Think of all the nightmares. Like, what do you tell your season pass holders, right?
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, this country, I bring it up, it borders Russia and China. So we'll see what happens. This coronavirus is a serious thing. Now there's the first documented case in the United States where the patient is saying, I didn't travel. Hell, I haven't been around anyone that has traveled. God, it's scary. Wash your hands, folks, is all I can say.
It's especially scary for us because where they're holding some of these people in Southern California is about, I don't know, what, 7, 10 miles away from where our parents live. So just think about the people that are in that situation are going to the same supermarket as our mom and dad. Like, you never know. It's scary, dude.
I wish you wouldn't have put it that way. I guess you're right.
Well, that's the first thing that stood out. I mean, I never thought they would be on the military base. You know, I just think those people have to go out. And when they go out, they're going to the same Costco, you know?
Yeah. All right. Real quick, some of this you may have heard already. Yeah, I just want to repeat it because they are big fight bookings. Henry Cejudo versus Jose Aldo is officially announced. It's going to take place on May 9th in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Yes, Jose Aldo will be competing for the bantamweight title, coming off a loss versus Marlon Moraes, and previously coming off a loss versus Max Holloway. So how about that? It is going to take place. Also, Shogun Mauricio Hua will be facing Antonio Rogério Nogueira for the third time. Fabricio Werdum, he comes back after 2-year suspension. He's on that card. Blagoy Ivanov goes. He's on that fight card as well. We saw him the other day at the gym.
Oh, nice.
We were actually wondering about him. But here's some reactions from fellow bantamweights who are not thrilled. Aljamain Sterling took to Twitter to say, the fight that no one asked for and nobody wanted to see. And then he says, hashtag make rankings great again. I actually heard him on MMA Tonight on SiriusXM. And he was saying, the UFC, man, this is a clown fight. Sometimes they make clown fights, and this is a clown fight. Peter Yan says, this clown choosing Aldo because I don't speak perfect English. Since when is Jose the fluent speaker? What kind of logic is that? Henry knows he is not a draw, and he is unsecured. In his head, he has already lost the fight to me. UFC, give me someone who is confident in himself. However, Chito Vera says this goes, The UFC just pissed all over the top five bantamweight division, booking Aldo and Cejudo. Guess what? Good job, Aldo. Have a name at the end of the day. I'm sorry. I'm just reading how he typed it. That's kind of like a big old run-on sentence. That top five, very hard to sell. They can fight, but no good for business. And this is why I love this game. You have to throw yourself to the fire to make it. So he's basically saying Sterling and Jan don't have much of a name. That's why Aldo does have a name, and that's why Aldo can come in and do something like this. But he actually supports this.
In a way, they're all right, because he's making good points. So then the counter argument to that is, okay, then why do you have rankings? Why do that then? Just do it this way.
Yeah.
Right? You can't have it both ways.
But see how they can't agree, and that's why it's hard for them to just agree on even some of the finer points. Like, someday I would love for these guys to fight and have some sort of a retirement fund. You know, just that collective bargaining that fighters can do, where they can fight for their rights and get a bigger piece of pies out there. Any of the revenue that this company makes, they actually piss on each other, honestly. Jimmy Rivera, he says, I can't wait to watch it. I'm happy that the division is going somewhere right now. Where does that leave Jan and Sandhagen? He didn't even mention Sterling's name. But yeah, Sandhagen's a name out there that people are forgetting about. So that's UFC 250 with Cejudo and Aldo. And then the other fight card I want to mention was UFC 251, got Valentina Shevchenko versus JoJo Calderwood, taking place on June 6th out in Perth, Australia. Rumored to be on that fight card as well is going to be Volkanovski versus Max Holloway. So some stuff to look forward to in the summer. And, of course, after the June pay-per-views, the one in July, which has rumors of Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal, and I'm sure there'll be some other fights there as well. Anyway, I think we should wrap up here. Goes any final thoughts on Benavidez and Figueiredo? Again, they will crown a world champion, folks, on Saturday night, and I'm going to see if I can get an answer, by the way, regarding what happens if they go 25 minutes and it's a draw. Because yeah, many states, that's where this number was selected. The most combat you can have in one night is these 25 minutes. However, I was once in Hawaii and I saw Jake Shields fight two times for 15 minutes each. I think it was Yushin Okami and Carlos Condit for a total of 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's not like this. It's not like it's unheard of, I guess. But I would be interested to see what happens if it's a draw. Do they have to fight again, or if they have some sort of an exemption for an extra 5 minutes?
Maybe you just go pride rules at that point and judge it that way, just on the whole fight. Who knows?
Yeah. Man, you know who will answer that question for me is Mark Ratner. I think I'm going to reach out to him. Anyway, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at The Goes, THEGOZE. The radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. Again, thank you for your support. Don't forget, we also have video franchises, the Off Guard series, where we catch fighters off guard around town or in Cali. Also, we have the Spinning Backlick. We produce that early in the week along with John Morgan, and as well as the Rankings Report, where now when you see the rankings on USA Today Sports and MMA Junkie, you actually get to hear some of the reasoning behind some of the moves. So please check that out. And again, thanks for your support. Keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout the week, and we'll see you all on Monday's episode. Go out there and be a champion.